Well, thank you everyone for being here. It's a tremendous chus. It's a great privilege we have this evening to host the Rosh Hashiva in our community. And I particularly want to thank Todd and Naomi Cohn, who have generously sponsored this evening's shir, Le'ilui Nishmas, Naomi's father, Joe Weiss, Naftali Hertz, Ben Meir. Joe would most certainly be at this shir tonight, as he was at almost every shir that was offered in our community. In the recent time that he was here, he participated in our men's afternoon kollel, the Parsha Shir, and almost always had wonderful feedback based on his own insights. But more significantly, Joe would undoubtedly be here tonight because he was a regular attendee of Rabbi Zweig's Thursday night Shir in Miami Beach. His grandson, Meir Sheftel, was a graduate of the yeshiva as well. And while many of us knew Joe as Naomi's father, or knew Joe because of the recent time that he was here and involved in the learning of our community, we all owe a great debt of gratitude to Naftali Hertz Ben Meir, to Joe Weiss. He was involved in our community in BRS in the late 80s, when Texaco owned most of the land that today we call Montoya Circle. And he was involved in the very early years of forming a minyan, walking to Verde Trail Elementary School, before it was in people's homes and in the original building in the shul. He had great nachas in seeing how far our community had come. And it was in large part due to his efforts among the early pioneers and founders of our community. It was a very sudden and tragic loss, not only for the Cones, but for our community. And we're sure tonight's Divrei Torah will be Le'ilui Nishmaso, Neshama Shrav, and Aliyah Naftali Hertz Ben Meir. It's a great schuss for our community to welcome the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Zweig. This has been a significant year, as it celebrates 40 years of Rabbi Zweig's impact, his contribution in molding and shaping the South Florida community. His 40th year of being a Rosh Yeshiva of Talmudic Academy in Miami Beach, but more significantly than the yeshiva itself, the Rosh Yeshiva has had an impact in a much, much broader sense, all the way up to Boca Raton and beyond. In the early years of Boca Raton Synagogue, the Rosh Yeshiva had a great impact and an influence, and we are indebted to the Rosh Yeshiva as well for how far our community has come. The Rosh Yeshiva's impact can be felt throughout the South Florida community, not only by his formal Talmidim who attended the yeshiva, but by those who drink from his fountain, those who have loved the shiurim, not only in halacha, but in hashkafa. He's known as an outstanding darshan, and it's hard to think of a better person or a more wonderful opportunity to prepare us for the yontif that is upon us. So without any further ado, it's a great chus to welcome the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yochanan Zweig.
Thank you, Rabbi Goldberg. Actually, Joe Weiss used to come to all my Thursday. He used to live on Miami Beach, used to come to all my Thursday night shiur. And just say one thing about him. I had no idea the shiur was going to be Le'ilui Nishmaso. He genuinely was a type of person that liked seeing somebody else be successful, which, by the way, is not a small compliment today. He's an Ayin Tova. And also, he liked to be able to figure out ways to do a Tova for a Jew when he had an opportunity. Now, he didn't have to be asked. He was always looking for opportunities. And it was a very great loss to the Jewish community, especially here, as he had settled here. What I understood tonight was supposed to be an in-depth shir in halacha. That's what I was told. Do what I'm told to do. The Mishnah says, this is the Tzadi Tesel Mebezim Sochem, V'lo Yifchasu lo Me'arba Kosa Shel Yayin. Do not give the person, an indigent person, less than 4 cups of wine for the Seder. All the Rishonim here, on the location, Rashi, the Rashbam, and Tosavis, all connect this idea of 4 cups of wine to the Dal Lashonis of Geula. Somehow they feel that these two things are connected. That if you learn out from the Tseisi, Vitzalti, the Goalti, Lokachti, that's why there's an obligation of 4 cups of wine. That's what they say here. You turn to Daf Kuf Ches Amen Aleph in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Shua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovis Barbakosas. Women, even though it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grum, depends on time. Nevertheless, women are obligated to af heim hoyu ba'osanes. They were also saved in Egypt. So Rashi says on this Gemara, Arbakosas, four cups. Shlosha keneged gimel kosas shenemer b'posuk zeh. The kos par biyodi, in the dream that the Sar HaMashkim had, that he relates to Yosef at the end of Parshas Vayeshev, in his recitation of the dream, it says three times the idea of kos paro, and it's the goymer evrevi birchas hamazon, and the fourth kos is birchas hamazon. So fascinating Rashi. In our Mishnah, Rashi says the source of our bekosis is Hotseisi Tzalti Goalti Lokachti. All of a sudden, seemingly for no reason, Rashi quotes a different opinion on Daf Kufches, that women are obligated in our bekosis from the story of Paro, the dream of the Sar Mashkin. And the other thing is even more perplexing. What does that do with Birchas HaMozen? What is Birchas HaMozen, the kos of Birchas HaMozen? In fact, if you read through the Psukim, it's Yerushalmi that it has to do with that dream, which itself needs some explanation. But they say, there's two more times it says Kos Paro, when Yosef says the interpretation, that's the fourth, and then again, when it actually happens, it says he had the Kos Paro. So actually, if you took it all the sentence, we have a remnant for five kosas, but that's not the way Rashi learns. Three kosas and the kos of Birchas HaMozen. It's very perplexing. If there are two different opinions, Rashi would generally juxtapose, some say from here, some say from here, but on two different Gemaras, one place to bring one source, another place to bring a second source, is a very perplexing thing. Another issue here is what exactly is the right to take money from a Kupa Shel Tzedakah? What is the obligation to take money for arbikosis? Now, it's true, they generally take care of a person's eating needs, but do they have to, that Tzedakah have to take care of your mitzvah dikah needs, have to take care of eating? So certainly for drinking, you don't need four cups of wine. So what is the basis of this? So the Rabbah Magid, in the end of Hilchus Chanukah, in Perek Dal in Hilchus Chanukah, Alochi Yud Beis, says the reason for this law is Persume Nisa. That's what the Rabbah, then it says there that a person is obligated to sell his clothing or to go begging for Ner Chanukah. And he says, where's the source of that in the Rambam? The Rambam learns this out from the din of arbikosis, and the reason is persume nisa, to publicize the miracle. The implication being that a person is not obligated generally to spend his last few pennies on a mitzvah. If he has no money, he's not obligated. If you take a look in the Bir Halacha and Tof Reish Nun Vav in the laws of Sukkah, he actually takes on almost all of the main Rishonim because he has two Gemaras that he says are compelling, not like they're saying. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that a person should spend a third of his money for hiddur mitzvah. A third of your money? You have three mitzvahs, you're going to be impoverished. No, it doesn't mean a third of your money, it means a third of the price of the mitzvah. If a esro is $10 to buy a more beautiful esro, it's $15. I guess I have to update that. $1,000 to $1,500. That's the... So meanwhile, it says clear in the Gemara that you don't have to become impoverished for a mitzvah. That's simple. That's an a priori axiom. And it says that it can't possibly be. So we know a third you don't have to. So the Rishonim then, this is when the Ramot Paskins and Shulchan Aruch also, that the sheer of how much money you have to spend on a mitzvah is a fifth. As the laws of Tzedakah, al yavaz v'zyoser mechomish. You don't have to spend more than 20% of your money for a mitzvah. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, most of the Rishonim say like that. And the Bir Halach is totally perplexed with this. He says it doesn't make any sense at all. He says, the Gemara says in Kedushin, on Chav Tes, the Gemara says if a person only has five Tzloy, he should redeem himself or his son first. Then the Gemara has a question, if I only have five Tzloyim, do I first be Ola Regel? In this time of my Pidyon HaBenz Erev Yontav, if I spend the money here, I won't be able to afford going to Yerushalayim. What should I do? That's a machlokas tanoim. The person only has five Tzloyim, he doesn't have to do the mitzvah at all. So you see clear that no matter how much mitzvah money, how little mitzvah person money is, a person has to spend money for his mitzvah, no matter how little you have. There's no fifth, it's almost all your money. And he says the Rishonim say not like this, so he suggests the following answer. Even though he says many of the poskim, in fact the Ramah says not like this, the Rabbi Magid says not like this, he says a very interesting thing. He says that what the Gemara is talking about over there, a huge amount of money. So in a huge amount of money, you don't have to give more than a fifth of your net worth. However, $5 is negligible. Having the $5 won't mean a lot, and not having the $5 won't substantially affect your lifestyle. This is the Bir Halacha. You take a look at Tov Reish Nun Vav in Aruch Chaim, and he says, therefore, it must be that it's only talking about when you're talking about spending a huge amount of money. But if the amount you spend doesn't make a difference, it's not going to affect your lifestyle, then either way you're obligated to spend. Now, then he goes on to say, and if you're going to think the reason is Pursume Nisa, says the Rambam, says explicitly not like that. The Rambam says in the Laws of Shabbos, in Parakeh, Halacha Aleph, person doesn't have what to eat, he has to go beg for it, and he takes oil, umadlik es haner, and he lights the candle, shezeh bechlal onik Shabbos. So he says, you see clear that for the mitzvah of onik Shabbos, which is not even a mitzvah in the Torah, it's only midivrei kabbalah, a person has to spend, not only has to spend all his money, he has to go beg to do. And he says, so to talk about Pursume, it had nothing to do with Pursume Nisa. It says, because the Rambam says, you can't get away from that, Bechlau Oneg Shabbos. This we're going to examine tonight, exactly whether he's correct or not, and whether the Rambam says what he says. We're going to go through this again. Right. Meanwhile, the Mishnah said, there's two halachas so far in the Mishnah. We have one halacha in the Mishnah that you need four cups from Arba Lashona Segula. We have a second language of the Mishnah that he takes money for charity, and actually the Shulchan Aruch elaborates, if he doesn't get the money for charity, he has to go beg, sell his clothing, exactly like he has to do by Chanukah. The Rambam doesn't say it here, but the Shulchan Aruch actually suggests that if you don't have the money, you're not free from the mitzvah, you have to go beg to get the money, which even makes it a greater problem. Where is the basis for this? And one last question. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah in Perek Yud Beis Halachi Gimel the following. He says, a mitzvah asay shazman groma, mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs that are time related, women are potter. And then he brings a number of exceptions, matzah, hakel, riyah. And he doesn't say about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. He doesn't mention anything Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Minchas Chinuch, it's a pretty compelling diuk, says it must be, the Rambam holds, women are potter from the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach night, they don't have to tell over the story. If you take a look at the Rambam, the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the Sefer HaMitzvah, the end of the S's, he has a list of the following. He has the list of 60 mitzvahs that a normal person, not a Kohen, not living in Eretz Yisrael, 60 mitzvahs assays that every person who's not in an unusual circumstance has to do. And all of them, he has from number 1 till 10, Then he says, on number 11, women are excluded. He goes through 60, and whenever women are excluded, he says, and women are potter. He has mitzvah kuf nun zayin, and he goes actually from, which is all the mitzvahs of yontiv, and serving yontiv, and he says nothing about the exception of women until he gets the kuf samach aleph, 161. Kuf nun zayin is the mitzvahs esed, ariso, lesaper, to tell over the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam says that women are potent Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Here he has a list of all the mitzvahs on which a person is always obligated, and he has every time a woman is exempt, and he says explicitly, and he does not say anything on Kuf Nun Zayin, which says the women are obligated in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're obligated in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. He does not say this is one of the 60 mitzvahs, and he doesn't have any exclusion for women. Okay, those are the three questions I'd like to deal with in the Mishnah. Now let's read the Rambam. Rambam that he read every single word is exact, and it's those who you learn, the more you learn, the more you begin to appreciate. Without God holding his hand and writing, nobody could have done this. And he says like this. This is Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin. Lefichach, therefore, when a person eats tonight, he has to eat and drink, he has to recline derecherus in a royal way. And everyone, bein anoshim, bein noshim chayev, lishtos balayla hazeh arba kosas shel yayin. Men and women have to drink 4 cups of wine, which is the Gemara, that women are obligated in 4 cups of wine. Ein poichsin mehem. Can't take less than 4. Next halacha. The next line, the same halacha. Vafilu oni hamisparnis min hatstoka lo yifchasu lo me'ar bekosis. What the Mishnah said. That even a person who's taken from charity is given 4. To me, there's a tremendous redundance. The Mishnah says that a person who is taken from charity is entitled to take 4. The gabbait stok has to give him 4. That means he doesn't get 3. That means you must have 4. So why did he have to first say the Rambam ein poichsin lehem? He's writing the same thing twice. You have to take 4 and not less. And the next law is if you take from charity, you take 4, which is where the Mishnah. Why not just say what the Mishnah says? The gabbait stoker has to give him 4. The gabbait stoker has to give him not less than 4. Not less than 4 would already tell us that 4 has to be what's absolutely required. That's what the Mishnah says. Why did the Rambam make it 2 laws? I mean, it's 2 statements in the same law. It's very perplexing. Then he says, Shir kolkos mehen revis. The size of each cup is a revis. What does that mean, a revis? Does that mean a revis of wine or a revis diluted? He leaves it out. That's halacha zayin. You go to halacha tes in the Rambam. The Rambam says that you have to dilute it according to that makes the taste is pleasant. It depends on each person's drinking enjoyment. The lo yifchus, and you cannot have less in all form revis yayin chai. Undiluted wine has to be 4. Why did he write wait to halacha tes to say what he already? Once you introduced halacha the first time, that you need how much wine you need, that's what he should say. The wine content of undiluted alcohol should be 4. That should be 4 revis. He didn't say that. He talked about how much the size of the coast means. That's with dilution. Why not just say it correct the first time? Why say it in an ambiguous, unclear way the first time and wait the second time to tell you it has to be 4 cups of undiluted wine? He's writing serious halacha. Organize it, say it right the first time. And then the second time, he doesn't even have to say it to say. He already said it the first time. But to write it unclear the first time and then clear it up the second time is just not an intelligent way for someone who is writing halacha. One last
thing. The Rambam tells us, based on Gemara's later on, the Gemara says like this. Let's say a person made Kiddush by the Seder, and after Kiddush he drank 4 cups of wine. So there's different ways. Rashi learns he took one glass that was large enough for all four. Tosva says 4 cups of wine. Did it then. So the Gemara's language is, the Gemara's Yedei Yayin Yotza. He's fulfilled the obligation of drinking wine. Yedei Cheris Lo Yotza. But the idea of Cheris he did not. The Rambam has a different Girsa in the Gemara and says like this. If you do this, he actually reads the Gemara like Tosfos, that you took 4 cups, not 1 cup taking 4. And he says like this. Yotso yidei cheres, you have fulfilled the obligation of cheres. V'lo yotso arbekosas. Rashi says, and Tosfos, you have not fulfilled cheres. The Rambam says you have fulfilled cheres, but not arbekosas. I'd like to see if we get some understanding what the word cheres means to the Rambam and what the word cheres means to Rashi. Rashi says if you drink 4 cups of wine at one time, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of yayin, but not the mitzvah of cheres. The Rambam says you have fulfilled the mitzvah of cheres, but not the mitzvah of Dalet Kosas. I'd like to begin. The Rambam begins Perek Zion like this. It is a positive commandment in the Torah, L'saper b'nissim v'niflos, to tell over the wonders, miracles that happened, that actually, to be exact, it was done for our forefathers in Egypt. Just to point out, it's not beyond tonight's discussion, but it's a very, very important message here. The Rambam tells us, in all the mitzvahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were done to us. We were passive. If you'll take a look in the laws of Chanukah, he talks about how Hashem empowered us. The Hashmoinoim were empowered to defeat the Greeks. And then the Jewish people were empowered to join in the mop-up of the Greeks. Very interesting formulation. It's not a small thing. When you talk about the idea of miracles, the Rambam defines the miracle of Pesach night, we were passive. The miracle of Chanukah, we weren't passive. God empowered us to win. And by the way, Rashi and Chumash and Parsha Zosa Brocha, on the Pasuk Baruch Hashem Chelo, Rashi says that Eliezer, the son of Matisyo, himself killed 20,000 Greek soldiers. You know, that this was an elite army, which means that God empowered him to do. It's very interesting. So Rashi and the Rambam learned that, and yet the Rambam, when he talks about Pesach night, he could have formulated it different. We went out of Egypt. It was a Spartacus revolution. It was a slave revolution. He mobilized us. Yes, he helped us with miracles too, but we went out. It was a grassroots movement to leave. Anyway, the Rambam says, not, I'm leaving this for everybody to think about over the Yontem. It's a very compelling thing, the way he formulates the miracle of Pesach night and the miracle of Chanukah. And he says, that's a mitzvah that shel Torah. Now in Perek Zion, Halacha Vav, he says a very fascinating thing. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayev odom laharos es atzmo kihivu yotzo atum Mitzrayim. A person has to show and demonstrate as if he's leaving now from Egypt. This is a Torah obligation to do this. Shenemar v'zocharta ki eved hoyisa kolomer ato ba'atzmech hoyisa eved v'yotzosa lecheres v'niftes. Every person has a Torah obligation to demonstrate the fact that I was redeemed. I was a slave and I was redeemed. Torah obligates that. And then he says, "Lefichok is yisoed odem balayla." Zed the next halacha, when a person eats that evening, he has to eat and drink and recline derech cheres, which the Rambam interprets in in the Pirush Mishnayos, not like Rashi, but there's a sense of royalty. Chol echad ve'echad bein anoshim bein noshim chayev lishtos balayla hazeh arba kosa shoyayim. The Rambam has now introduced us a fascinating thing. He's told us that actually there are two mitzvahs going on the same night. Now, it's all under the penumbra of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, that's in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. For example, Bris Milah is one in the number of 248. However, it includes circumcising my son, a ger, my slave, myself. So there's could be a lot of different mitzvahs that are included under a general, or the mitzvahs of Ola, all the different maisim of the Ola. That's all one mitzvah. And other than Korban Pesach, the eating and everything else is all one mitzvah. So when we talk about Minyan HaMitzvahs, we're not talking about how many mitzvahs a person gets reward for, we're talking about a category of mitzvahs. The Rambam is telling on Pesach night there are two things. One thing is we have an obligation to recite the story. And another thing, and the wondrous things Hashem did, and another thing is we have to celebrate the fact that we are leaving. What is the practical difference so we should understand what really is this saying? One is a recitation. One is a lesson in Jewish history to talk about the wonderful miracles Hashem did. The other is a personal sense of celebration. Let me ask the following question, which is certainly what Tosfos, without giving what I just said as the backdrop, but that's the issue on the Tosfos here on Sadi Test, has a very interesting question. He brings down, it's not clear what the custom is. Does everybody have to have their own cup of wine? Or only one person? Just like by Kiddush, you know, we're so used to it, nobody ever thought it could be anything different. Every house, Friday night, one person makes Kiddush, and most of the homes, and other people are yotzei with their kid, with this kiddush, the wife for sure. That's what we know, and all of us also know that in Seder everybody had their four cups. Tosfos is not sure whether that's necessary, and he actually says it's only a chumrah, without actually giving any insight why it should be this way or why it should be that way. Once you see the Rambam, we understand clear. If it is a message to recite, to tell over story, it's a din of Shomei Kon. I'm telling a story, just like I read the Megillah, you hear the Megillah, you hear Kiddush, Shomei Kon. You speak, I listen, Kriya Satorah, I can be Yotze. If it's a personal celebration, it's a mitzvah Shebegufo. I have to celebrate, it's a mitzvah Shebegufo. So you can't do that for me. To put it another way, which is even a more compelling difference, other than that, is do I have to drink the wine, really? What's the din of drinking the wine? If it's Sheva Brachas, getting married, there's a Koshel Bracha. That's not a requirement of the mitzvah. If you don't have a wine place, you can... Would you believe that the chuppah can actually be done with six brachas? The only problem with that is you may not have, maybe short, giving people honors. But there's no halachic. The Rambam says clear, in a place where there's no wine, it's only in a place where you have wine you need sheva brachas. Because that's just to give chashivas to the action. If it's to celebrate my freedom, then of course I have to... There. It's not only a question that I need a koshel yayin to make it, to add stature and status and importance to what I'm doing. It's actually the celebration is part of the drinking is part of the celebration. So it's a whole different focus on the kosh. Now we begin understanding what Tosfos' question was. Is the arba kosos part of the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the story is a story, and in order to give it a chashivas, to make it a more prominent and more important presentation, as we do with many mitzvahs, we have a koshel bracha. That's to enhance and give dignity to the experience. Or is it a personal celebration? In which case, everybody has to have their own kos. That's for sure what the Rambam. I mean, for sure the issue in tosis, and that's actually according to the Rambam. There's two things that we have to do tonight. Now let's also go to another question. The Rava Magid said that on Pesach night, the reason we have to go take from charity is for what reason? Persume Nisa. Which aspect is Persume Nisa? Persume Nisa is to give a message of publicizing what? Like the Rambam tells us. L'saper, to talk over, the Nisim, the Niflos, Shenasu Avuseinu. What we're doing over here is reciting things that the Almighty did. In order to give that chashivas, we have a kosh shel bracha. Then there's another din. I have my personal mitzvah. What permits me to go to charity? So besides what the Bir Halacha says, he thinks you're obligated mitzvahs. The Rishonim say not like that. The Rava Magid says clear. The only reason you're allowed to take from charity for the Dalit Kos is what reason? Persume Nisa. Which is the Persume Nisa? The Persume Nisa is only the first din. On the personal din, there's no din of Persume Nisa. Now, I don't know where it says anywhere that for a mitzvah you're allowed to take from charity. Am I allowed to take from matzah for charity? Now, it's true, charity has to give me food. But is the only food that I can eat Pesach night, even bread, I mean, grain, have to be matzah? B'tzeiko shel nochri. The Gemara says, if you go and make something that's not worthy for matzah's mitzvah, then you can eat that on Pesach. There's absolutely no problem eating that on Pesach. Which means, if the Gabbai Tzedakah, who has to be careful about money, and is only giving money to sustain a person, does not have to give matzah. Matzah is a lot more expensive than B'tzeiko shel nochri. Which means there's no... Does it say anywhere that for Korban Pesach that you have to be getting money? Does it say anywhere in the Zman of the Bais for more? I don't know any place where it says you're allowed to go ahead and take from charity, do your mitzvahs. Does charity have to give me money for tzitzis? There's no place it says. In fact, the language of the Yerushalmi in Pei is like this. Kabedes Hashem mehoncha. From your money. Hashem gave you money and then He told you to give leket shikhan peyah. He gave you money and He told you to do other mitzvahs. Mehel, from your money. All your money and you have no money. In fact, in the Yerushalmi, the only place that says, the only mitzvah, the Yerushalmi is different, is the mitzvah of Kibbut Av V'Aim. And even Kibbut Av V'Aim for tonight, there's other ways you can learn, but let me tell you the simplest, and what's about Kibbut Av V'Aim? For every other mitzvah in the Torah, I'm not obligated to spend money. Why? And certainly not to beg. It says only for money I have. And I say even more. It says mehon, from your money. Certainly you don't have to go and get it. How do we understand the... Why is Kibbut Av V'Aim different? In fact, the more compelling question, Kibbut Av V'Aim, whose money do you have to spend for Kibbut Av V'Aim? It's Mishelah Av. We don't paskin Mishelah Ben. So how could there be a din that I have to go ahead and beg when if my father doesn't pay for the food, I don't have to spend for the food? So Tosfos talks about, well, maybe he's impoverished, there's the laws of tzedakah. But the simplest pshat in the Yerushalmi is different. What will be if my father doesn't have food? What is he going to do? He's going to go out and beg himself. What the halacha is, rather than my father should beg, I should beg. For sure that's the halacha. That's a halacha in that I'm not in Kibbut Av V'Aim. It's not about giving him money. It's about saving him from the embarrassment of begging. So the fact that I do it, which is exactly the opposite of what happens today, right? Anybody ever come to Eretz Yisrael want money for their father? Every father comes money to beg for his kid. It's unbelievable how crazy the world has become. You understand the devastation and the tremendous self-centeredness, the entitlement that we as parents are doing? It's insane. The law is, if there's no money, the father would beg, and therefore, rather the father beg for himself, the son should beg instead of the father. Even though for no mitzvah, for Kibbut Av V'Aim, for sure you don't have to give from your money, but you have to save your father the indignity of having to to go beg for himself. So you have to do that instead of your father. And today, Baruch Hashem, we become a wonderful. Now we want to make our fathers beggars for us. You have to understand, that's really totally opposite of what the Torah view is. That's that halacha. So for sure, there's no din, you have to spend money. That means, so what drives the law over here of... What drives the law over here that you can take charity for arbikosis? Is it my mitzvah or the fact that it's persume nisa? Which is it? The Rav Magen says persume nisa. For my mitzvah, I don't. Well, later on, I'll explain what exactly the sophistication of persume nisa is. So now let's just examine this. If it's persume nisa, it's like Kiddush. How many cups of wine do you need at the table? You have five people in your family. How many cups of wine do you need if all we had the night of tonight of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? How many cups of wine do we need? Four. Right? One for one person, four. Everybody else is Yotze because it's Shomei Kona. If it's the idea of taking money for the arbikosis is for my personal mitzvah, then we need five times four. We need 20 cups. Everybody needs the five people. Each of them need four cups. Rav Magid says the only right to go take money from charity is for sumi nisa. So halacha zayin, halacha vav, where it says my personal celebration of freedom, I have no right to take charity for that. For our mitzvahs, for my personal, I don't take charity for tzitzis. I don't take charity for Pesach. I don't take charity for Matz. Even the whole thing that Jews instituted, Kimcha de Pischa, means, yes, we want to do that. We can make a collection for that. But from the general fund, which was money was collected for poor people for sustenance, you're not allowed to take money. That's why we made Kimcha de Pischa. That should be a special fund that people, if you want to give, help for a mitzvah. Otherwise, it's food. And people have food as a higher priority than somebody doing a mitzvah. Now the Rambam reads unbelievable. The Rambam says there were two things that we had to do. You're not allowed to drink less than four cups. And the Mishnah said another thing here. The Mishnah said that we only take from charity four cups. So he said there's a redundancy here in the Rambam. All he has to say is that from charity you can only take four cups. He's not talking about how many cups you need, four as opposed to two. He's talking about four as opposed to 20. Lo yif, that all you're allowed to take from charities, lo yif basu lo me arbikosis, you give the poor man four cups for the whole family. That's the halacha. We're not talking about what you're allowed to take for the mitzvah. You're not allowed to take for the mitzvah. You need four cups and not two. Now that you're taking from charity, lo yif basu lo, don't give the poor man less than four cups. And only four cups. The woman doesn't get, his adult children don't get, because charity is only for persume nisa. On persume nisa, on that Tosfos is surely right. It's like shomei kohen. It's a general rule. One person does it, everybody is with him. That's the way the Rambam read. That's just to read the Rambam. You have to just hear the way he read the Mishnah. Lo yifkasu, lo is saying to him, only to the person leading the Seder. The poor person leading the Seder gets a cup of wine, four cups of wine. Nobody else has to get. Shir al kol kos mehen reviz. Four. Reviz. What is the law of Yayin Chai? Why do you need that the wine should have a high alcohol content? Is that a halacha in the laws of kosher bracha? Or is that a law in the halacha of, like the Rambam says, we need cheirus tonight, and therefore even with yayin chai, it's cheirus. What the Rambam is telling us a fascinating thing. What he's telling us is that the law of yayin chai is part of not the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's my celebration. The higher the alcohol content is, everybody still remembers Purim? You celebrate. More alcohol, you celebrate. In fact, Rashi says, even if it's one cup that holds 16 ounces, it'd be the same thing. You've fulfilled your obligation. He calls it the obligation of yayin, the obligation of warming yourself up and celebrating your The Rambam, by the way, has one slight difference. He agrees with Rashi in that point, that the idea of the kos is your personal celebration. When he disagrees with Rashi, learns that the celebration is alcohol content, simcha. The Rambam understands it's four toasts. You know, I have to make, I'm celebrating bottoms up. Bottoms up. I need four times to celebrate. It's not how much alcohol gets me into a mood, but an act to express that I am now, as if I am now leaving Egypt, then you have to do right now, you are to make four toasts. So the arbakosis in the law of my personal celebration is four toasts. And by the way, the Rambam says that clear later on, because he says, if you drank most of it, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. Yotzah means you're fulfilled, but that's not what you're supposed to do. How much are you supposed to do? Yotzah sounds b'dieved. It means the chatchila, you have to drink the whole cup, because it's four toasts, according to the Rambam. So in the two different mitzvahs are two fascinating things. One is a personal celebration, and one is a history of Hashem's miracles that He does. In the laws of the history, the miracles that He does, you don't need, you have a kos of dalet is enough, you can be yotze shomea ka'ona. In the law of my personal celebration, over there it has to be dalet kosis. And each kos has to have a dalet, has a shear of yayin chai, how much yayin chai you need. And you can't take any money from tzedakah for that. Interesting word. And by the way, this is actually, these languages are exactly what we started off with. There's four lashonas of gula. If you're talking about the recitation of the story, and the Torah sets up the story as having four turning points or four different aspects to our redemption. Okay, so then these four aspects we highlight, each had the Torah considered the four stages, again beyond tonight's discussion, but you understand a trip that takes four steps is not four reasons or four stops. You have to define that each one has some reflection of some wondrous thing Hashem did. But what about if we learn out that Rashi brings from Pharaoh's party? What was Pharaoh's party? A birthday party. It was his personal celebration. Whether it was his own personal birthday or the birthday of the dynasty is probably more likely, but it was his own celebration. That's what Rashi is saying. If we learn out the Rambam, actually the two laws of the din of arbakosis are actually rooted in this Chazal. The Chazal that says Dal Bashonis of Geula means it's to tell us and define for us the story we did. If it's rooted in the Koshel Paro, then we're talking about a personal celebration. It's a party. My personal birthday party, my being free, and I'm acting like right now I went free. It's too different. And then now we understand Birchas HaMazon too. Birchas HaMazon is also celebrating a good meal too. That's the whole idea is a personal sense of celebration. There's no Shomei Ka'ona. You can't take money from charity for that. You need wine with a substantial alcohol content. In the other din, you don't need a substantial alcohol content. It's a halacha of giving over a story and reciting a over kosher bruch. What? That's what we're coming to do. 100% not. According to Rashi, the whole din, that's what Rashi's coming to tell us, that the din af heim hoyu ba'osa anes does not obligate them in sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. They're not obligated, and probably it makes a lot of sense. That's not the role that we, our wives, fulfill in the family, and therefore they're not going to change. Even where we have mitzvahs of learning, the men come to learn, the women come to listen. So certainly not to be the teachers of the evening would certainly not be an appropriate role. So they're only mechayev them in afem hayubos hanes. In which part? In the personal celebration, which Rashi brings there. That's what's bothering Rashi. What are women obligated in? The Mishnah was talking about Dal Lashonis of Gula, And why did they bring, what drove all the Mefarshim to learn here? Because it says you can take from charity. And you can only take, you can't take money from charity of mitzvah money. You can only take persume nisa money. And therefore, where do we have persume nisa? In the recitation of the story of the nisim and the flows and the different aspects that the Torah underlined. That's where all the Rishonim learn on the Mishnah, that's the source. But now we're talking about a woman's obligation. Under which obligation of Sipra Yetzis Mitzrayim? Is it their personal celebration? Or do they have to now be the teachers of the evening? According to Rashi, only obligates them in their personal celebration. Yeah, my kosher bracha is my personal thanks for taking good care of me. No, it's not to the mitzvah, it's to the thank you. The whole mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon is to say thank you for what you've done for me. What? It's not for the mitzvah, it's for the celebrating of the hatovah you did for me, to underscore that I'm saying thank you, and to make thank you as being a meaningful thank you because of what everything you've done for me, you're sustaining me. That's what you have, that's what Rashi, that's 100%, that's what Rashi's saying. That was the whole problem. How does Rashi call that the four kosas? The only thing that it aligns it with the other three kosas, that it's my personal benefit. That's almost the compelling thing that forced Rashi to say that. I say other Rishonim learn Pshat and Yerushalmi from a different coast paro, but Rashi's clearly telling us we're talking about a personal celebration. And now that's the language of the Gemara too. Rashi says Yedei Cheres Lo Yotze. Rashi's using the word Cheres, the four Lashonis of Gula. So if you drank wine undiluted, you fulfill the mitzvah of wine, but Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim you haven't done. That's four kosas that have to be said on the story. So if you drink them all at one time or in one big kos, you have your own personal party, but you haven't recited the story. The Rambam uses the word cheres differently. Well, let me read his language again, the way he defined what the mitzvah that you have to show tonight. I have to show freedom, which means, according to the Rambam, the word cheres is defining my personal celebration. I was an eved v'yotzosu lecheres, and I became free. So that's just why he uses the same word. Means Rashi used the word cheres to read the Gemara, meaning the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Rambam uses cheres since the mitzvah is that I have to show that I am become a ben chorin. So that means yodei cheres, I haven't shown my personal celebration. And he said again, according to the Rambam, it's four toasts, and according to Rashi, it's just get happy with alcohol. And according to the Rambam, since it's happening now, you have to say bravo four times. Now let's go to the issue about taking money. So I think we've answered all the kashas on the Rambam. In other words, the Rambam didn't have two laws here. The reason he said he left out the law of Yayin Chai here, because he's talking about kosher bracha. He's not talking about the halacha of the coast that you have to drink from, and that you have to, because what you take from charity, you're only allowed to take for kosher bracha. You're not allowed to take a large alcohol content. But if you have the money, then of course to celebrate more alcohol. But not only more alcohol, it's also not only alcohol, it's alcohol plus toasts. And the Rambam is, let's begin examining this whole halacha. The Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, insists for mitzvahs you have to spend money. And he brings a raya from the Rambam. The Rambam says if you don't have money and you go out to beg Friday night, and you can now have bread, or you're going to have light, what should you do? Use it because it's Einik Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha says it's a raya for mitzvahs, your chayiv. I still have to answer his gemaras in Kiddushin. That's his raya. If anything, it says exactly the opposite there, and I'm going to prove it. Let me first define our terms. What does persume nisa mean? What is this great reason? We're saying nowhere, I mean, Rishonim said, nowhere do you have to spend money that's not yours only for persume. What does persume nisa mean? The mitzvah of persume nisa? What difference the mitzvah of persume nisa? The mitzvah of tefillin. For tefillin, you also don't have to, that the Rishonim says, but fairish, you don't have to spend money on tefillin. Sitzes, you don't have to, and certainly you can't take from charity. It's not the mitzvah of persuming nisa. Persuming nisa means it's giving God presence in the world. It has nothing to do with my mitzvah. The idea that you can take money for charity is not for my mitzvah. You can't take money for Korban Pesach. You can't take money for matzah. To fulfill a mitzvah, if you're poor, you're potter. Like the Gemara says in Bava Kamma. If you're poor, you don't have to spend money on mitzvah. You're an onus, obviously. You can't do it. Whatever, why Hashem made me poor. But that frees me from the mitzvahs. Give from your money. You don't have money, you don't go out and beg for to do a mitzvah. For persume nisa, you have to. Persume nisa is not for me to fulfill my mitzvah, but the whole purpose of everything in creation is that God should have a presence in the world. Persume nisa is my aligning the running of the world with God. God did this, he did that. Persume nisa is for me to, not for my any kiyum mitzvah, persuming this is for me to connect, give the Almighty a presence in the world. Now listen to the Rambam at the end of the laws of Hanukkah. He says if you have money for no money, you have to beg for Hanukkah. And then he says, Kiddush or Hanukkah, Hanukkah is a higher priority. And then he says, what about Friday night of Hanukkah? And you're either going to beg for, you're going to beg for candles for Shabbos or candles for Hanukkah. So look what the Rambam says. Ner, Beso, the candles of Shabbos have priority. Mishum Shalom Bayis, because it brings Shalom Bayis. Sharei Hashem Nimchak Laso Shalom Ben Ishlishto. Hashem's name is erased in the story of Sota to bring Shalom between husband and wife. Godo Hasholem Shekolat Torah Nitno Laso Shalom Ba'olam Shenemar Duachel Darchei Noam V'chol Mesivo Seh Shalom. So the greatness of candles on Shabbos is what? Shalom. But that's, by the way, let's just explain what he's saying over here. What does that mean? He means saying like this. If I'm allowed to erase God's name for Shalom, what does that mean? It means that Shalom must be a fulfillment of God's name. God's presence in the world, Shalom Bayis means that's the fulfillment. You erase God's name, but having Shalom Bayis is more presence than what you gain by erasing God's name. Was to give him a name here, because Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. So it's an incredible thing that on Shabbos we have a mitzvah of Shalom Bayis. There's a mitzvah to bring God's presence into the world. And that's the ultimate of persuming these. You have Hanukkah, which is you show Hashem runs the world. And the other thing, the ultimate presence of is God's name in the world. And that's why a home, if I can just take 1 minute here to give you a personal observation I had many, many years ago. My children started getting in Shidduchim. You know, everybody knows what they're looking for. I discovered something. You know, I knew I was already then in the community about 15 years. I didn't. Knew most of many people. And I started realizing what I was looking for. And I had a very fascinating thing. There were families that were Balei Tshuva that to me would have been better than Rabbonim families. Now, I actually believe the Torah makes you mensch, Torah gives you values. I'm totally committed to that. And I started wondering myself, how could it be that I would take a child from a home, recent Balei Tshuva, I mean, these very decent people, over a child that had a day school education, a good high school education, not that he became a Baal Tshuva in high school or after high school and became a Ben Torah. What about all those formative years in Rabbonim Shachal? I was bewildered myself. Till I'll tell you, I came up with something, and then I actually verified it with the two families that I was thinking about. To my parents, by the way, a child from a non-religious home was an anathema. And I think that on my in-law's side, I would have had to war with my parents and my in-laws. That was, parents aren't religious, it can't happen. That would have been a war. But my own feelings were not like that. And it came out that all my in-law children were all from religious families, but it wasn't a priority for me. And I started wondering myself, I believe the Torah actually makes you a mensch, so how could it be that here's a... I realized a very interesting thing. At home, when a child goes to a day school, has a good day school education, and the parents, there's no shalom bias in the house. 6 hours a day he's in school, probably three times as much time, including Shabbos and Sunday, he's home. When there's no shalom bias, you're living in an atmosphere of anti-God. No shalom means a void of God. It is not impossible. And people that even are not observant because for whatever reason, they were ignorant, they didn't have the opportunity, but they could have tremendous shalom bias. And one of the families that I actually was thinking about was a very interesting story. I heard just Messiah Lefi Tumo some years later. He and his four siblings, I think it was five kids, would get in the back of a car and travel with their parents every single summer cross country, sometimes halfway, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, cross country. Father was a professional. They went for a family trip. How long in our families, by the way, I know, can you believe it was before cell phones, Game Boys, there was no stereo in the back seat? I'm telling you, I know nobody can believe it, but there was a time that nobody had any handheld games and there was no videos in the back. And kids got along. You know, one time you could be a fool, but every year means the kids got along. I knew it couldn't possibly be unless there be a tremendous amount of shalom bias. If the parents are in harmony and you see commitment to each other, so the children can buy into that and can learn from it. Where the parents are two selfish people jockeying for control, then the children learn that too. Yes, they can be observant. They can be putting on tzitzis and they can actually be learning Gemara too. And they can actually be davening. But they're living in an atmosphere of anti-godliness. Then I realize a family with shalom bias has more holiness in it. Shemo Shal Kodesh Baruch, God's presence. You raise God's name because when there's shalom bias, then there's a tremendous harmony in the house. And if anything, we want to do anything for our kids. Instead of thinking more chumras, learn how to respect my wife more. Put her place correctly. She should do this. If when children sense the parents are together, they're living in the Shechina. They're living in a Beis HaMikdash. They're living in shul all day. You go to a school and the parents, so when they're in school, they're learning Torah. They come home, they're living in an anti-God place. I'm not talking about fighting. No shalom bias doesn't mean people are fighting. No shalom bias when people are selfish. Each one is, they're making accommodation. What do they call that? A negotiated truce. Some people think shalom bias is a negotiated truce. In most families, it is. Sometimes you invite me, I'll show you from the halacha, from Hilchos Shabbos and Gemara and getting exactly what the laws and from the Rambam exactly what shalom bias means. That's all halacha. Everything is in the Gemara. Just have to learn how to learn Gemara seriously and find all the asodas of that. Anyway, that's what the din is. So it's shalom bias. So now let me ask you a question. That's now the Rambam that the Bir Halacha brings a raya that for Onik Shabbos, you have to go beg. So for mitzvahs, no matter, you have no mitzvah, you have to go beg. Because the Rambam says in the laws of Shabbos that candles have Onik Shabbos. Now that we know what the Rambam thinks is the real greatness of candles of Shabbos is what? Shalom bias, for which you erase God's name. Wouldn't it seem unnecessary to talk about Onik Shabbos? Because it's Onik Shabbos? What does that mean? All the Rambam should say, the reason you should use the money for for candles is because of Sholem Bayis. Sholem Bayis knocks off Chanukah, which is Persumei Nisa, public Persumei Nisa, and not only that, he goes out of the way. The whole Torah is called Rochel Darkei Sholem, called Nesivos Seles Sholem. You erase God's name. Oynik she'oynik, like he says, is only a mitzvah from Divrei Kabbalah. What is the Rambam talking about? Now let me read the Rambam inside. Let me start doing Chanukah, and I'll go back to Pesach, and then we'll see. Afilu ein lo mayocha. Person doesn't have what to eat. Elami not stoker. What you have to do is you have to borrow money, sell your clothing, beg, or sell your clothing for Ner Chanukah. Hilchas Chametzu Matzah. The Rambam says, Afilu oni hamisparnis minat stoker. That's Arbakosis. Yeah. They're presuming this. Now let's go to Hilchas Shabbos. I'm really, take a look, it's a tough ratio involved in the Bir Halacha, but let's read the Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos. It's in Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph. This is where he's proving that you are obligated to, if you have no money, you're obligated to do the mitzvah of any mitzvah, even a Divrei Kabbalah mitzvah, like Onik Shabbos. We're just getting warmed up, Rabbi. We go back 65 years, more. Listen to this. Afilu ein lo mayocha. If you don't have what to eat, shoal al apsochem, you go beg. V'lokeach shemen, you take oil and you use it for ner because it's onik Shabbos. Every place till now, when we talked about what you have to do, was it talking about somebody who didn't have what to eat? It said exactly the opposite. I have what to eat, but I only get from sukkah. Both places, I have what to eat, but I get from charity. Here the Rambam says, I don't have what to eat. That's not true. I don't have what does it mean if I don't have what to eat? It means I don't have what to eat for a Suda Shabbos. So what should I do? I go ahead and I get oil better than use it for my meal. I should use it for... What does it do? I don't have what to eat. He never said anywhere if you don't have what to eat, you have to do... He didn't say even by Chanukah if you don't have what to eat, that you have to better light candles than eating. He said if you eat from charity... Then it means you have no money at all, and your food comes from charity. Then you beg for Chanukah. But what about if I don't have to eat on Chanukah? Does the Rambam say you have to go ahead instead of eating, you have to light near Chanukah? Doesn't say that, and doesn't say in Pesach either. If you don't have what to eat, the first priority is you have to take care of yourself. There's halacha then of pirsumei nisa, as we said, give presents to God. What's he talking about in Shabbos? You don't have what to eat means. You don't have what to eat for what mitzvah? Onik Shabbos. I'm not talking the star. You don't have enough to do Onik Shabbos. If you eat in the dark, you don't get much pleasure either, the Gemara says. Lighting candles is also Onik Shabbos. The Rambam is just telling us that rather than use when you don't have what to eat, which has nothing to do with any of the other mitzvahs, if you don't have what to eat, you have a right to go ahead and beg to eat. Now, and you got money to eat. You could use it for food, or you could use it for light. The mitzvah on Shabbos of eating is oneg. The mitzvah of light is oneg. He's telling you it's a better choice to have oneg, because even what you eat, if you're going to eat in dark, you're not going to have oneg, the Gemara says. So therefore, you'll eat a little bit less, and you'll have the advantage of light in your house, which also gives oneg. He's not talking about here, if you have food, that the reason is oneg. Of course the reason is not oneg. That reason is sholem bayis. That's why you have to go ahead and borrow and you will... But that's only if you have what to eat. What about if you don't have what to eat? You're not mechuyev in pirsumei nisa either. If you don't, the first thing, a person has to take care of himself. Kabed Hashem mehoncha, person has to take care of himself. What about if you can't, and at the end of the day you don't have enough? Now you're in your house, and you now have not enough to eat for Shabbos meal, but you have enough oil that you can light. What is a better choice as far as pleasure? Is there a better choice as far as pleasure, eating, now adding oil, dipping your bread in oil, or lighting? He says lighting is also owning, so it's just a better choice. He's not talking about whether or not if you have what to eat, the law of obligation to light candles. He's just explaining what about if you don't have what to eat, which is not any other place in the Rambam. So he's proven from over here that you're going ahead and getting it to be Mekayim, a mitzvah. You have no money, there's an obligation for owning Shabbos. Wrong! The mitzvah is you're taking food, and you have a right to take food. He's just telling you a better use of the money for food is not eating, is eating a little less in the dark, eating a little more in the dark, or eating less in light. That's a better choice for food. That's all the Rambam is saying. But once you have what to eat, the reason, of course, you go to beg money for lighting candles has nothing to do with owning Shabbos. That has to do with what? That has to do with Shalom Bayis. And that's, I think, the right way to read the Rambam. Now, though, we have, now let's start from the beginning of the Halach and the Rambam. I'm just going to, sorry about this. Pesach night is called a marbar is a meshubach, but not fun. The only advantage here is, and maybe that's why the women weren't invited, everybody can blame the reason they're not helping at home, because they're doing, they're being Isaac and preparing for the Seder. God forbid that they don't want to be there. It's just, listen to the Rambam. Mitzvahs asei shel Torah l'saper benisim niflos persumi nisa. That's persumi nisa. And again, the persumi nisa here is not, you're not being mefarsim the nes with the wine, the story, but the wine is just gives it weight to the experience of persumi nisa, as opposed to Chanukah where the thing itself adds persumi nisa. As by way, in Shabbos also, the Shalom also adds, the light also adds the Shalom bias. And then he says like this, Shinemar Zohar Sayom Azeh Asher Yitzosim Mimitzrayim. You should commemorate this night that you went out of Egypt. Kamo Shinemar Zohar Sayom HaShabbos. Like it's written, Zohar Sayom HaShabbos. That language is a mechilta. When they quote the mechilta, people say there is no such mechilta to the right. There's no mechilta to Rabbi Shmuel. But the mechilta of Shim ben Yochai, it's a direct quote. I mean, the Rambam is telling us, we go back to the beginning, that's what Kiddush is also. We understand that Kiddush is the same thing? Kiddush is also Pursue Meinisa. God created the world. That's Pursue Meinisa. Well, when we go ahead and say Kiddush, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, He took us out, Yom HaShishi, that's Pursue Meinisa also. And on that, just like on Shabbos, we make Kiddush ala kos, the Mitzvah Pesach night is the same. The only thing, now we have a problem, the halacha is not like that. If you have Ner Chanukah, and you have, if you have Ner Chanukah, and you have Kiddush Hayom, Ner Chanukah has a precedence, because Ner Chanukah is Pursue Meinisa. Now let me read you, that's the way everybody thinks, but listen to what the Rambam writes, this halacha. He only has one penny. And he could do Kiddush Hayom, Shabbos Kiddush, or Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. He buys Shemen Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, Al Yain the Kiddush Hayom. Mutuv Lahakdim Ner Chanukah. What should he say? Sheyeshbo? Persuminis? No. He changed it. Yeshbo Zichron Hanes. The difference between is exactly what Rabbi Friedman was saying. When you're talking about Shabbos, Kiddush is also. You take a look at the Gilyoni Ashas, he says, why isn't Kiddush Pursumei Nisa Iblaj? Of course Kiddush is Pursumei Nisa. But Kiddush is, the recitation is Pursumei Nisa. The wine is to add to the value and to the respect and dignity of being Mefarsim the Nes. On Chanukah, is pursuing this. That they're both pursuing this. But on Chanukah Zichron on this, besides being something to add chashivas to the action, you're actually being showing what the miracle was. You're being masker than this. That you're not doing on Shabbos. On Shabbos, when you say Kiddush, you're only talking about the ness of creation, the ness of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like Pesach night. It's the ness of the Exodus, but we're not, the wine doesn't do that. It doesn't tell us anything more. The wine just adds substance and dignity to that. It's a kosher bracha. That's why he said Shomei Kona. On Chanukah, in addition to pursuing it's Zichron HaNes, when you see the lights of Chanukah, it's not only reminding us Hashem made a miracle, it's showing us what the miracle was. Zichron HaNes. So everything the Rambam starts with pursuing is the Rav Amagi, and I'm really just saying the Rav Amagi is 100% right. The only thing now, we have one last thing to answer, is the Mishnah Berurah brings, the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says, Pidyon HaBen, you only have $5, you're mechuyev in a mitzvah. The way we're saying, if you're poor, you're potter from the mitzvahs. Which, by the way, that's the way the Ramah paskins. The answer is like this. Thank you for lending me $10,000. I really need it. It was very nice of you, and I want to publicly tell everybody. I'm not allowed to say thank you because it's Ribbis Dvorim, but, you know, he's a very chashuv person. Unfortunately, my holdings are now down. I only have $35,000. It's more than a fifth of the mitzvah I'm putting. You think that makes any sense? I borrowed $10,000. Maybe I was worth 50 when I borrowed. Now I'm only worth 30. More than a fifth of your money you don't have to give for a mitzvah. Prius Baal Chov is a mitzvah. I don't have to pay. My house is underwater. Too bad. It's more than a fifth of my money. Prius Baal Chov. That's a law in mitzvahs. It so happens to be there's also a legal obligation to pay a debt. Maybe you won't be mekayem the mitzvah, maybe you are, but the legal chov you have to pay. No matter how much money you have to pay, I have a legal obligation that I owe you money. So therefore, I don't think the kasha that he's bringing from Pidyon HaBen. What about oil or regal? That's just the mitzvah. The Rambam writes in the beginning of the laws of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The Beis HaMikdash was built, he says, in order to build a house for Hashem so we can sacrifice for him there. In other words, we're giving him a presence here. And also, he says, the Chogingin Elof Sholosh Pomim Bashon, and to be Ola Regel. What is he telling us? Ola Regel is God is the king of the world. But you know, a king needs a nation. Ola Regel, three times a year, is part of announcing and showing that he has a presence in the world. We build a house where we sacrifice for him, and we also go there three times a year. That's also persume. Persume nis is not because you're mefarsim. That's your mefarsim is presence in the world. That's exactly like that's what he's saying by Sholem also. The name HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholem, that's persume. That's being mefarsim his presence. His miracles is his presence. His real presence is Sholem. That he says that's greater than miracles. And certainly the Beis HaMikdash is his presence in the world. It's not the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's not the mitzvah of you don't have money. It's halacha in the fact that we're giving him presence in the world. Ola L'Regel's presence in the world. And therefore the Gemara has a question. You only have $5? That's true. It's more than a fifth of your money. But the law here is a persume nisa type of din, which means to give presents to Hashem. And this is actually quantified in the laws of Shkolim. I'll just end with this. In the laws of Shkolim, the Rambam tells us, Mitzvah says to Minat Torah, on every Jewish man he has to give a machzis hashekel. Even if he's poor, he has to go out and beg money for this. Or he has to sell his clothing. The same language he says by Ner Chanukah. And he has to give machzis hashekel. Machzis hashekel means we have an operating Beis HaMikdash that is God's presence in the world. Persume nisa means to give God a presence in the world. And now that we're thinking about the Pesach night Seder, we have two obligations. One of them, to give our children a feeling how God is involved in history and how God runs the world. It's His world. He runs the world. He's involved in history. He has a presence here. That's what we have to, that story, and we have to deliver that message. That's one thing, and we do that on our bekosis, and we're publicizing God's intervention in history. And the second thing we have to do Pesach night, another thing we're obligated to do, is to go ahead and have personal sense of celebration. And therefore, the Rambam says women are potter in Sefer HaMitzvot. They're potter from the fact that they have to tell over the story. And Avheim Hoyu Bosanes only obligates them, like Rashi says, in the personal celebration. So there's no contradiction in the Rambam either. But the main thing is, we're not talking before the Seder. Everybody got it now. Start thinking about it. You don't want this one saying this inane Devar Torah, and this one saying this gematria, and this one showing how smart his teacher was, and how... I'm not talking youngsters of 7 or 8. I'm talking about our teenage children. Give them something meaningful. Give them a focus. Tell them what you'd like them to prove. Tonight we want to leave here with a message, have God's involvement in history. Let's see, do you have any examples? Do you have questions? That's that. At the end of the Seder, if you do that, then everybody will go out with the message of Pursumei Nisu, which means seeing God's involvement in history. That's our obligation. Try and get that unifying thread. Otherwise, it's a competition. Who said a better gematria and who said a meaningless Dvar Torah? The other one had no interest. Let them work together to examine, understand. And by the way, it's a lesson we need more than any other time in our lives. God intervention in history. Because every day when a person wakes up, he thinks the Jewish people. He reads the paper, the internet, he knows the Jewish people. Logically, we're out of business. Whether it's today or in 2 years or 10 years, we're out of business. We have to reassure our children, and they should be looking for examples. So when they leave the Seder, they become strengthened in the fact that God is involved in history. He's done it. B'chol dor v'dor omdin olein l'chalo seinu. We have a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzi leinu miyodim. It's an absolute guarantee. By the way, that guarantee, where's that guarantee? V'gam esagoy asher yavodu don onoichi. Rashi says, the Bala Gadol says it's the Brisbane Absorum. Where does it say? It says, I'll take care of the Egyptians. Rashi says, v'gam esagoy asher yavodu don onoichi l'rabu shibud malchiyus. For all time, the Goyim are becoming attacking Jews. God is involved. And the more children look at the world as how God is running it, instead of I'm running it, or the Goyim are running it, but God is running it, then we've had a successful Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, a good Yontiv, and it's Hashem L'shona Abba, we should meet in Yerushalayim Abnuya.